Hello, and welcome to The Catch, Redcar's fishing story past and present. I'm Carmen Marcus, author, poet, fisherman's daughter, and Redcar lass. In this podcast, you'll hear me reading a letter from my father, Mark Thompson, to me and my sister, Emma Thompson, telling us all about his family's life as fisher folk, about the boats, the fishing, the seasons, and the role of women. The fishing and the boats. As you can imagine, fishing has changed a great deal over the years. And in this final recording, you'll hear about how things were and how and why they've changed. To set the scene, I'd like to read you a letter that my dad wrote to me and my sister in the 1980s to tell us about fishing. I think he knew we wouldn't sit still long enough to hear his stories, so he wrote them down, not wanting this knowledge to be lost. To Carmen and Emma, inshore fishing. Inshore fishing has changed over the years, both in craft and methods, with the introduction of electronic instruments, such as echo sounders, fish finders, and decker navigators. Starting with the coracle, the Yorkshire cobble, the double-ended beach boat, the keel boat, and the big steam and diesel trawlers, and the purse seiners, the floating drifters, gill netters, and beam trawlers. Each of these could have their own topic, so I thought I would take the Yorkshire cobble, which has been used on the North East Coast and Northumberland coasts for centuries. My father, uncles, grandfathers, great-grandfathers used these craft to catch fish and shellfish from Redcar for centuries, first with oars and sail, to the latest diesel engines. In the old days, it was very hard work getting these up and down the beach. They had to be manhandled on wooden wheels. A horse was very useful in them days to pull them up and down. Now we have the tractor with winches to pull them on. Years ago, the main method of catching fish was the long line sunk to the bottom of the sea with the anchors. One line with up to 300 hooks, which was nearly half a mile long. Each boat used to carry from 6 to 8 lines baited with mussels and worms at the seasons to catch cod, haddock, ling, whiting, plaice, conger eel. The fish caught on the lines was always quality fish and always brought a better price on the market. It's also better for the fishing grounds, as you did not kill all the small fish. This method of long line fishing was from October to about December, according to the weather. January was nearly always a bad month for the weather. In the bad weather, the fishermen were always busy replacing their fishing gear and making new lobster pots. The catching of lobsters and crabs used to start generally at the end of February, also according to the weather. Each cobble worked up to 200 lobster pots, according to the size of the boat, in stints of 40 to 50 each day. The catch of lobsters were put into the stow boxes afloat in the sea, and at the end of the week were handed to buyers who came from Staithes near Whitby. All the lobsters had their big claws tied up with rubber bands to stop them killing each other. Years ago, they were brought ashore on a Sunday and packed in apple barrels filled with sawdust and sent on the train from Redcar straight to Billingsgate Market, London, for Monday market. Crabs were sold mostly local in the latter years. The buyer took the whole catch every day, as he did with the fish. The lobster and crab fishing generally went on till about May, as they go into their holes in the rocks to cast their shells and come out with new shells in July and August. From the end of May, the boats start fishing for salmon and sea trout with drift nets working up to 6,000 yards. The nets float on top of the water with cork and lead line on the bottom of the net, which in the water is like a wall, and the salmon swim into the nets and are caught with a net at the back of the gills. Each day the salmon is hauled and the buyer collects them with his van. This fishing ends in August. I want you to know that years ago the women played a big part in the fishing. They used to shell the mussels and bait the lines and carry the fish and lines and lobster pots from the cobbles off the beach and push them with one wheelbarrows to their homes in Fisherman Square and the little cottages, where they got them all ready for the next morning's fishing, which started at 3 to 4 a.m. The fishermen also had another hazardous job, which was to man the lifeboats when the ships were in distress and perished on the treacherous rocks of the northeast coast. The women also played a part in the launching of the lifeboats up to their waist in water, pulling the lifeboat into the sea. In the old days, the horses were brought from Wardman's farm to launch the lifeboat in terrible weather. When the lifeboat went to sea, the women used to go home and change their wet clothes and then be back on the beach with jugs of hot tea for the lifeboats. Thank you for listening to my father's letter about the history of inshore fishing. If you enjoyed hearing about the fishing seasons then, learn more by listening to the Fishing Summer Extra and thinking about boats to discover how fishing has changed with the changing sea. This series of podcasts was created as part of the Catch Redcar to celebrate the story of a fishing town through image and sound. The project is a collaboration between me, Carmen Marcus, and Kev Howard, photographer, created on behalf of the Redcar Palace and supported by Arts Council Cultural Recovery Fund.